Now, if you're an archaeologist and you look at a site, what's the first thing you want to know about it?
Well, basically, how old it is, presumably.
Yeah, like after that, is it going to be worth millions? Possibly in the back of your mind is how old it is. Now, there's various ways of doing that so far. One of the biggest ones they use is carbon-14 dating. The problem is that only works if you've got some carbon, something organic in the material you're trying to date. And organic things get eaten by bugs. They disappear. So you don't always find it. So there's lots and lots of archaeological sites which are very, very difficult to date. Now, one of the most common things you do find on archaeological sites is pottery. It's dirt cheap. You can't recycle it. It's essentially disposable. It's been disposable for tens of thousands of years. People smash it. They just throw it in a pit. So if you've got some way of dating pottery, that would be ideal for archaeologists. Now, no one's been able to do that so far, but Moira Wilson and colleagues may have come up with a solution. When you make pottery, you fire it. You heat the clay up to a temperature between 1,000 and 1,400 degrees Celsius, which sinters it, causing the particles of the clay to stick together. And crucially, it drives the water out of some of those minerals which make up the clay. As soon as the clay cools down, a very slow reaction between these minerals and water starts. Now, it's easy to measure the amount of water in a pot. You just dry out the pot normally to get rid of the water amongst the grains, and then cook it at about 600 degrees centigrade for a few hours, and you measure the difference in weight. Different pottery takes up water at different rates, but the rate at which it starts taking up water for a couple of days after you've just dried it out predicts how it would have taken up water for the next couple of hundred years very accurately. And crucially, as Moira told us,
the reaction is sustained by an incredibly small quantity of water. So there's actually sufficient moisture in the atmosphere to keep the reaction going. So it doesn't actually matter whether your brick is sitting on the table or it's sitting at the bottom of a lake. As long as there's enough water there to sustain the reaction, any excess water, for example, if the material is saturated, doesn't contribute to the reaction, it just sits there doing nothing.
In fact, the only thing which does affect this rate of uptake of water seems to be the temperature, which is going to be reasonably constant over, say, southern Britain or somewhere. So you can calibrate against that by getting a load of pots you know the age of, and you can make remarkably accurate predictions.
So this is a much better way of doing things, potentially, than carbon dating, which has a number of problems associated with it. This is actually very, very easy.
It seems to work. They've dated various bricks. They've dated Roman brick, which is 2,000 years old, some King Charles sort of era. They did have one problem with medieval brick from Canterbury, which they kept dating at 60 years old, and it really confused them. So they worked out that there'd been a fire during the Second World War, which had refired the pot or the brick.
And reset the timeline.
Reset the time clock.
But
so,
of course, that's always going to be potentially a problem, I suppose,
yeah,
isn't it?
With any system like this.
Brilliant. Ingenious, though. Thank you, Dave, for that.